Hello, I'm Claire Tian Ravizza. It's June 23rd, and my voice is a little huskier than usual because I'm getting over a cold, and I'm with
Jean Dennis. It's also the 23rd of June, 2018, and Claire and I are in a converted Airstream sound studio at the Annenberg Photography Center in Los Angeles.
And we're talking today about the ties that bind. We were kind of astonished to add on our fingers that we've known each other for 40 years, lived on different coasts, on and off, worked together, and been friends for that amount of time. So how does that happen?
Yeah, I think that Claire and I have both lived on different coasts, and we didn't even know each other that well when I left California in the 70s and moved to New York. But there was a connection that went beyond just we're, you know, both in the same line of hospice care, and I learned a lot about all of that from Claire, but there was a connection to this, to who she was for me, and how I felt very much I could be myself, and that there was this. I didn't even think that why wouldn't I stay in touch? It was just like, this is somebody I want to make sure I stay connected to, and here we are,
yeah.
40 years later, having a really cool experience in the spur of the moment.
So, I met you in, must have been about 1978 or 79?
78, I think.
And was it one of the California hospice meetings?
Yes.
You were with hospice in San Diego. I was in Los Angeles, and there were just a few of us doing the work. We were really at the beginning.
And I remember being in a hot tub with with you and with some of the other early pioneers, and I remember our acknowledgement to each other. It's like, oh my God, this thing, this whole movement relies upon us, these people in this hot tub in the 70s. And I didn't know that much, and you had been involved early on, and so I was hungry to connect to people who could kind of, you know, onboard me in a certain way into what this was going to be like.
You know, I think that was what was so interesting about the early days of hospice, is that there were so few of us that we were eager to share and help anybody who was trying to do the work. And that is an incredible gift to have, colleagues clustered in Southern California, colleagues spread out across the country, doing really pioneering work and trying to figure out the way. So you would share anything with anybody who was trying to help. And that's the beginning of a movement for sure.
Right, really from the grassroots. And you were a real early leader and stayed in leadership for years. And I learned from you, but I never felt like that there was tension around that at all.
Yeah.
I think the thing that there are many things that I really love about who you are, but one is that you're generous and open, and you're strong in your own self, and to share or connect with other people is not doesn't threaten you. You don't have like this ego that is, you know, I'm in a certain clique and you're not. That's not who you are in the world. And so I've always felt like really accepted.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
And valued, even though I always felt you were kind of in a different, more in leadership and more smart about kind of where the things were going and had, you know, political savvy that I learned from.
Well, you know, I think what's interesting when I hear that, and I'm very touched, is that, you know, when I went, just sort of off topic, but I went back to a high school reunion and somebody came up to me and said almost the same thing. He said, you know, you were well known, very popular in high school, and you treated me like a real person, and I was nothing. And I was like, ooh. So I think I give the credit back to my parents probably for raising me that way. You know, I have certain talents and I want to share them. And so thank you. I was lucky enough to have a boss, Kay Daniels, at the time, who recognized my need to do something on a larger scale than just in Los Angeles. So that encouragement to be involved at the state and the national level was really important for me. So you're right, we didn't know each other very well. You moved to New York.
Yeah.
And how did had you been in the book club by then?
No, because no. I was working in San Diego.
Right.
And we would see each other
at conferences, hospice conferences.
Yeah. And then I picked up and went to New York in 1981.
Okay, so right after or before Monica was born.
Right, and I remember being in Vermont on a weekend with New York friends, and when Monica was born, and I remember picking out this little sweater.
Oh, I remember.
I remember selecting where I was.
It was purple, I think.
Was it? I don't remember the color. But just thinking of, you know, I cared enough about you.
Right.
And that it felt, you know, just I wanted to honor this new baby in your life. And I guess we must have just then continued to see each other at NHPCO or something.
Well, and remember you had moved to New York and Ken and I always would go back to Connecticut for Christmas. So you weren't going back to Iowa that Christmas.
That's
so
right.
I said, come to our house.
I moved in December. And you invited me to spend, 3 weeks. I was there 3 weeks.
Okay.
And I came to Connecticut and had the experience of Ken's family and your family. And it was just so classic. It was like a Woody Allen movie. Because at Ken's house, his mother, all I ever saw was her back with an apron around her. And all about the food. And she gave me she bought me a present, which, an orange turtleneck sweater. I remember that.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And then we went to your mother's house, and your mother sat at the table and talked about books and about literature. And there was the
food
was
burned.
In the kitchen. The peas were burning. But the conversation was, you know, nutritious. It was so different.
Oh, that's so funny. That's so funny.
Yeah. So you brought me in.
Yeah.
That was, I'm glad you remembered that.
Yeah, I do.
That was important.
Yeah. I knew you were just gone, and it was like, and I don't, so somehow we kept, you know what's interesting, what strikes me? You had just gone to New York, and so I knew you'd be there alone at Christmas, so course, come to Connecticut. And then you came back to LA, and then when you moved back to New York, you were there a short time on September 11th, right? You'd only been there a short time.
Right, right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Before that happened. I remember talking to you on the phone either that day or the next day. And I remember Joe was still in...
He was still in L.A.
In L.A., and he was so worried about you breathing. And we're like, oh, what's he talking about? Well, he was right, wasn't
right.
he?
Right, right.
Wow, wow.
But then when I came back, I mean, I bounced back and forth, but I think in the 80s, because I came to L.A. in 91, we came back.
Okay.
In the 80s, we just stayed... We must have stayed connected at the conferences.
We did. We always got together.
Right.
And it was like putting on a comfortable sweatshirt.
Right.
Just, you know, we have so many of the same interests. You know, love books, love museums, love, as you said, to laugh. Yoga.
Right.
And, you know, we were involved at a national level so that we also had those relationships and people that were, you know, part of our professional life at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Those were, and, you know, I've said this to you over and over, but and I've told other people this as a mentor. When we go to the conferences, you would say, we always leave and go to a museum. Get out of this hotel. Skip a session. And a young woman that went to her first conference that I'm working with now, and that's exactly what I told her. Yeah. I said, leave and go to a museum.
Yep.
You know, don't feel guilty about that. It's really important.
That's how I got to know Washington, D.C. so well in all the Smithsonian's. Yeah. Well, you know, once I knew you were coming, and it was like, oh, we can go to the Annenberg Center of Photography.
Exactly.
This is a great exhibit.
Right. And I like your thriftiness. I'm thrifty, too. We take the subways. You know, we didn't spend a lot of money at this gift shop. We bought a $1.50 roll of root beer lifesavers.
Well, you know, I think, you know, growing up in a large, both of us large families,
yeah.
The Catholic upbringing,
yes.
The values, you know, I think that's part of the ties.
I agree. Kind of the foundational, there's a lot of, I get it,
yeah.
About how we grew up in, you know, in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And, Catholic school, all of it, going to church, you know, all that. That, in hindsight, there were some things that were good about that.
Yeah, yeah.
As much as it's not a part of my life now.
Yeah.
But what I remember then is coming back to California in 1991, married with a, you know, with Mariana, our adopted baby girl from Brazil, and coming to your house and saying, okay, and you said, well, what do you want to do? And you were like a coach then.
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
So what do you want to do, you know? And there was a job as a volunteer coordinator for Trinity. It was Hospital Home Health Care at the time.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll take it. And it wasn't long that I got promoted to be whatever my job was my title, program something. But boy, was that a great run.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, I've always believed you find good people and you find a job for them. Somehow we got you in the door, and it was the best move I ever made. Working with you, you know, how many years were you at?
Almost 10.
10 years?
91 to 2001.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, we were a good pair.
We were.
You know, you're I could trust you with anything, with anybody. Just the way you hold yourself and and relate to people, you know, was an incredible gift for the people who worked for you, with you. And I think you and I had an ability to play off of each other and dream big and have big visions and go for it together. And it was extraordinary.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would say when you left was one of the hardest points in my career, because, you know, we had a great relationship. I trusted you totally. And that friendship, right outside my door, you were
in the, right. You were right there.
Was not replicated. And I think I told you a couple of months ago that I had an experience. So you left in 91. This is 2018. In December 2017, I worked with a colleague doing some work with a healthcare team. And it was the first time since 1991 that I had the experience of that same trust and respect doing some really important work. So it's rare, and it was a gift. I feel like I was incredibly lucky to have you, you know, right alongside as we made a really big impact on a lot of lives in Los Angeles.
Yeah. It's you know, those were probably the best working experience I've ever had. I mean, I've had some other good ones, but not with a partner.
Yeah.
Somebody that...
Yeah.
Where, you know, we would see things the same way and see people the same way. And I just remember, even in the worst of times, that we could laugh about things.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, for me, like one of the ways that makes my day.
Yeah.
And even when you came to visit last summer and you were working with those in Oregon, and we laughed so hard sitting in my apartment I don't even remember what, just experiences and people. And it just feels so comfortable.
Yeah.
It feels comfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I said to my friend Kathy when I was leaving, I said, it's just going to be so easy.
Yeah.
It's going to be an easy weekend.
Yeah.
Because it's just easy
to
be with you.
Well,
and in your home and with Ken. I mean, I feel
Well, you make it that way too. I mean, you know, you are so accepting and generous of spirit and everything. So you know, I was pretty deliberate there. Ken said, "Are you going to invite anybody over?" I said, "Jean's here so short a time. I'm keeping her to myself." So, just, you know, you mentioned the worst of times, and you and I both know about Operation Restore Trust, and it was the darkest days of my professional career, knowing that if somebody wanted to do you in, do your program in, they could, unfettered control and authority from a governmental person. And, you know, we got through it. And, you know, I think of some of the humorous ways we celebrated, including at that event at my house after, where all of the Post-its and stickies and things that we had to justify what we were doing that we had saved, we burned in a ceremony.
Yeah, right. I think that I remember at the time saying, "I've never cried about my job."
Yeah.
About, you know, the potential for it to all go up in smoke.
Yeah.
That I did then. It's like, they could take us down.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Yep.
But she didn't.
Yep. 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 Well, that's yeah. called a rogue federal surveyor, and we'll leave it at that. Although, you know what, we should probably end it by saying that ultimately she was found to be a rogue surveyor. I mean, it was confirmed. Remember when a very well-known hospice brought a suit and had enough money to, you know, take her to court and show that she was really acting outside of the bounds of regulations, et cetera. So, I think there was a little post-traumatic stress that resulted. I mean, I'm glad I'm not in healthcare anymore where a surveyor could knock on my door and say, open the records, because it brings me back to that time.
Right, and because you were the head person, and it, you know, the crown sits heavy on the queen's head or whatever that is.
Yeah.
It hit you in a way that it didn't hit anybody else. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, it's just the way it
is. Just the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, I'm, you know, the buck stops with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was, I remember driving down PCH to meet you one weekend in the middle of that, and you said, we have to talk a strategy or something like that. It was just like, it was very serious.
Yeah.
That we had to prove ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was...
Those days are gone. Those days are behind us. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have a lot of experiences. I remember... every time I go to Jane's house for book club, we just had book club there a month ago, and I go through Belmont Shores, and it's like, remember Jane.
Our little, that was a great, we had a good run.
Yeah.
We did. We had a good run.
Yeah.
And that was a good time of our lives.
Yeah.
We just got a ping.
I think it's my cell phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. So we're at 22 minutes. What else?
Well, I would want to acknowledge that when I accepted a position in New York to take on a big program as the leader, our relationship shifted so that you became my coach, and it was a way for me to continue to learn from you, and understanding what a valuable asset it was for me to be able to have someone, not my boss and not a not a peer, another department leader, someone who knew the business that I was trying to lead, to help me be successful there, and so that was another phase. Another phase.
Well, and you know, it was also a way for me to stay very connected to you.
Exactly.
I mean, it was a great, great excuse. And, you know, doing the executive coaching, one of the things that, again, what I love about you is your willingness to look at things head on, your tremendous capacity for reflection. And, you know, as a coach, that, I mean, I would get off the phone and it's like, oh my God, I just love talking with her. And there's, you know, people like you are few and far between with that kind of insight and ability to reflect. And so I appreciate that and your intellect. I mean, again, it's a great combination.
Yeah, well, thanks. I was talking to somebody the other day and trying to, you know, like remember the open-ended questions instead of jumping to, well, here's what I'd suggest.
Yeah.
But have you thought about this? You know, it's really a way to, for someone to think about their own trigger points and blind spots around approaching something. And so, you know, once again, it's like kind of like I can pass, can use some of that in this consulting that that I'm engaged in now.
You know, I just thought of something that that makes me laugh that I just want to remember. And occasionally when we had an important interview, a higher interview, you and I would do an interview together. And we were always really busy. And, you know, I don't think we had HR screening people. So it was like, you know, and especially if it was just like, we need to be efficient. So we worked out that system that either of us in the course of this joint interview that we were doing felt like, okay, this person is not, it's not going to work. The signal was to start playing with our earring. Both of us have pierced ears. And so, you know, we would do that. And, it, you know, I'd see her start playing with her earring or she'd see me. And it was like, okay, let's wind this up, you know?
Exactly. I've told that to other people.
I know.
Yeah, we need a signal if this is going down.
Yeah.
It worked.
It did.
It really did.
Oh
gosh. Claire.
We have been very lucky.
Yeah, we have.
Really lucky. Having this friendship, having had such meaningful work for so much of our careers. I mean, that is such a, those are two gifts that I am so grateful for.
Same here.
You know?
Right.
And we've still got the friendship. I've got a different career. You've got a different slant on the career. And we're still going strong.
We're still going strong. That's right. Exactly. We're still doing yoga.
Yep.
We're still on our feet.
Right.
We're still yeah.
Still laughing and getting together.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, good place to end, you think?
I think
anything
so.
Else? Okay. Thank you. I'm so glad you suggested we do this.
Me too. And thanks to the Library of Congress for giving us this opportunity.
Indeed. Okay. Are you sure you're finished? Yes.